Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. If you haven't already done so, please make sure the volume of this podcast is set perfectly to your listening enjoyment. Please take your seat, whether that's on the treadmill, car, sofa, or bed, and buckle in for the last trip. My name is Jamie Beebe, and I'll be your tour guide, recreating someone's last days in paradise. On behalf of myself and everyone behind the scenes, please enjoy the Last Trip podcast. And because nobody likes a long flight to get to where they want to be, let's prepare for takeoff. Ildar Rakhmatullin was on the first leg of his trip around the world when he arrived in Fiji from New Zealand on April 7, 2023. The 38-year-old had a flight to Malaysia booked for April 10th, but on April 9th, he checked out of his hotel room, taking his backpack and suitcase, but accidentally leaving behind his phone and keys. He simply walked out of the hotel and mysteriously disappeared. There's not been a single clue in this case, and very little is being done to find him. But people don't just vanish. So what happened to Ildar? Is he still out there somewhere? Did he start a new life? Was there an accident? Foul play? And why are there still no clues? We'll cover all this and more as we dive into the case of Ildar Rakhmatullin in the islands of Fiji. Fiji has long been a honeymoon destination, a beautiful place for people to celebrate their love. The islands are stunning, with romantic backdrops, secluded island resorts for romantic walks on deserted beaches, or private dinners under the stars. But there's more than just romance in Fiji. Many friends, families, and solo travelers have a great time there as well. Ildar was on the island of Viti Levu, the largest island in Fiji. It's the economic and political center of Fiji and home to the capital of Suva. It's a little over 4,000 square miles of rugged mountains, lush tropical rainforests, and beautiful beaches. Ildar was staying along the coral coast, which is a paradise for nature lovers, adventure enthusiasts, and anyone seeking that tropical escape. That area is specifically known for its pristine beaches and vibrant coral reefs. The beaches are soft white sand and crystal clear turquoise waters. People sunbathe, swim, snorkel, kayak, paddleboard, and jet ski. So that's normally the area you think of when you think of Fiji. A lot of snorkelers and scuba divers go there to explore the underwater ecosystems along the reef. There are tropical fish, sea turtles, and lots of other marine creatures. The most popular snorkeling and diving sites include Beka Lagoon, the Astrolabe Reef, and the Namara Marine Reserve. Coral Coast is mostly miles and miles of beaches, bays, sugarcane fields, and lush vegetation. It's along the southwest side, and it's great for adventurers. There's zip lining through the rainforest, whitewater rafting and kayaking on the Navu River, surfing, horseback riding, hiking, and deep sea fishing. Near the area is the Sigatoka Sand Dunes National Park. It's a protected area with rolling sand dunes, a coastal forest, and archaeological sites. A lot of visitors take guided walks through the dunes, and it's about 2 hours round trip for the tour. Although you don't need to have a guide, some of the ground might be unstable, leading to sinkholes or landslides. So for safety, just grab a guide. The Coral Coast is where many of the luxury resorts are located, and they also have boutique hotels and eco-friendly lodges. Fiji has world-class accommodations and amenities that the most luxurious travelers fall in love with. Most of the resorts have beachfront villas, infinity pools, spas, and gourmet dining. But not all of Fiji is the island paradise you see in photos. Suva is an urban area and can be busy and industrialized, with traffic congestion and urban sprawl. There are shopping districts and a variety of other businesses in the city. And like any city, the crime rate is higher there than in other parts of the island that are geared more towards tourists. Also, once you venture away from the luxury resorts, especially in the rural parts of Fiji, there's a lot more poverty. They lack access to basic necessities like adequate housing, clean water, education, healthcare, and employment opportunities. And although it's a great honeymoon destination, there's plenty of availability for backpackers, budget travelers, and families. There are accommodations and activities to suit everyone's needs and budgets. The island has numerous superstitions and beliefs, which I always love to learn about. For example, they believe the coconuts have eyes, and they watch for certain people to hit when they fall from the trees. If you're the recipient of a coconut bomb, bad luck will follow you for several days. If a butterfly comes up to you, not only is that exceptionally cool, but they believe it's a loved one who has passed away coming back to say hello. If a bird is chirping right outside your door, then someone is coming to see you and they're going to be bringing news. If you hear an owl hoot at sunset, then a loved one will die soon. If you leave your clothes outside after dark, then evil spirits will reside in them. And honestly, that one kind of creeps me out, so definitely put your clothes away at night. Another interesting one is that women shouldn't take a shower or cut their nails at night because that's when the evil spirits are out. But I couldn't find anything saying what problems the evil spirits will cause if you're a woman doing those things at night. So I think showering in the morning in Fiji is the safest bet. Overall, Fiji is a gorgeous, relaxing, and tranquil place to visit, which is why whatever happened to Ildar Rakamatulin is such a mystery. How do you simply vanish without a trace somewhere like Fiji, where there is almost no violent crime and barely any dangers? One piece of the puzzle is figuring out who Ildar was and what led up to his disappearance.
I am Beth, your host at the True Crime B&B podcast. I started this podcast with my daughter Bailey, creating a format where one of us would tell a rough story about a case and the other would end every episode with an inspiring story focused on strength and survival. We wanted to remember victims and celebrate survivors. Now that I'm solo, some episodes are collaborations with podcaster friends who bring a case to share, and we continue the downer and upper format that Bailey and I created. Sometimes I release what I call Just 1B episodes, where it's just me telling true crime case stories that you've never heard before. I focus on cases that didn't get much publicity because those people still deserve to be remembered. I will never glamorize the criminals. This place is for the victims and the survivors. So come join me at the True Crime B&B. You can find me anywhere you are listening to this fantastic podcast.
Ildar didn't lead a life on social media like many of us do. I know especially when I travel, I'm posting a play-by-play of all the cool things I'm doing and seeing. I do it partly to show people who aren't traveling what's out there, but also as kind of a running journal for myself to look back on when I want to remember where I went and what I did. Although Ildar lived a quieter life, spending his time further from the constraints of social media posting, he was in constant contact with his mom back in Russia and several of his friends through Facebook Messenger. He grew up in Russia and then went to Canada for college at the University of Western Ontario. In Canada, he married and later divorced without having any children. So he had dual citizenship with both Russia and Canada, but was living his life in Canada before he decided to travel the world. In college, he met Alexander Petrushev, who was another Russian transplant, and they became lifelong friends, staying in touch regularly through the years. After college, Alexander became a math teacher in Waterloo, Ontario, and Ildar worked as a web developer in Mississauga, Ontario. Alexander said Ildar was someone that his friends could always count on to be there for them. He was trustworthy, honest, and somewhat reserved, but also open-minded. He loved life. He was hardworking and responsible, and the type of person that had the persistence to achieve all his goals. Ildar was known by his friends and family to be a genuinely kind and supportive person. He had an impact on many people because of this. But even with his worldwide traveling, Ildar wasn't the type to take risks. He was a cautious person. He was careful, planned things out, and was mostly a by-the-book type of guy. He spent his time doing yoga and meditating. He was healthy and in good shape. And he also had enough money saved up to travel, so he wasn't working during his trips. When the pandemic hit the world in 2020, many people changed their perspectives on life. And I think that's what happened to Ildar. His dream had always been to travel the world, so he started making the plans to do just that as soon as travel restrictions were lifted. When he left Ontario for his around-the-world travel, he stayed in touch with his mom, calling her in Russia every 3 days or so. He also kept in contact with Alexander through Zoom, phone calls, and social media. Other friends of his messaged frequently asking about his adventures, and he was always fairly quick to respond. And his trip was epic. It spanned many months. Fiji was his last stop before his final location in Malaysia. He hadn't run into any other problems along his route, and by all accounts, his trip was going great. The only thing I found odd was that none of his friends or family knew if, by that point in his trip, he was still traveling solo or had a companion. But it seems as though he was staying in his hotel alone. He was scheduled to be in Fiji for 3 days, although, strangely, he checked out of his hotel a day before his flight left, and that's the last time he was seen. Let's go through what we know about Ildar's time in Fiji. Ildar arrived in Viti Levu on April 7th and checked into a resort at the Coral Coast. There were a lot of other tourists in the area, and the hotel was fairly busy. On April 8th, he spoke with his mom on the phone, updating her on his travels and checking in. She later said she was kind of scared because she heard drunk voices in the background of his call, but didn't ask him about it because she assumed it was just other tourists. It probably seemed odd to her because Ildar didn't drink, and by all accounts, he wasn't much of a partier either. He assured her things were going well and he was in good spirits. There was nothing out of the ordinary or odd about the phone call home. On April 9th at 8:46 a.m., Ildar is on video attending a yoga class at the hotel. It was a group of 14 people in a yoga session in a covered area near the beach. The weather was sunny and beautiful, without a cloud in the sky, and the ocean was calm. Ildar is seen reclining on a deck chair as meditation music played and the others in the class were relaxing alongside him. He's wearing a navy t-shirt with white writing, blue shorts, and beige and black slip-on running shoes. There was a small blue bag on the floor next to his chair that he left behind after the yoga class. It contained his cell phone, a set of keys, and his flip-flops. And this bag later became a central but mysterious clue in his disappearance, so we'll come back to it. At 9:48 a.m. that same morning, right after yoga class ended, Ildar went back to his room and got his backpack and suitcase and checked out of the resort. The owner of the hotel said Ildar took a lot of photos during checkout, including photos of the reception area, which struck the owner as unusual. Now, I think during checkout, Ildar would have realized he was missing his phone, but there's no mention of him looking for it or asking if anyone found his blue bag. Also, because the owner said he was taking photos, I have to assume he was using another type of camera because his phone was left behind. When he checked out, he had on the same outfit from yoga and was now carrying his suitcase along with his backpack, which was a red Osprey Farpoint backpack. Once he walked out of the resort, neither Ildar, his suitcase, or his backpack was ever seen again. Not a trace. Getting back to the bag that was left behind at yoga, later in the day, the night watchman of the resort found the blue bag and placed it behind the bar. But this is where things start breaking down, because he either didn't tell anyone he found the bag, or because no one came looking for it, it just wasn't noticed that it was there. And in fact, that bag stayed behind the bar for over a month until another staff member noticed it and became aware of it because they saw a post on Facebook about Ildar missing and finally connected the dots. About a week after Ildar went missing, his mother was worried because it had been a while since she'd heard from him. So she reached out to his ex-wife to ask her to find any of his friends to see if they had heard from him. His ex tried reaching out to several friends, and on April 18th, she got a hold of Alexander, and that's when he found out Ildar was missing. It didn't cross his mind that anything bad could have happened because Ildar was such a cautious person and an experienced traveler. But when he tried reaching out to him with no answer, things came into focus that there was a problem. But everything was moving really slow because of the language barrier and distances. His mom was in Russia, his friends were in Canada, and at first no one knew if Ildar had gone missing in Fiji, or if he made it to Malaysia as planned and then went missing. By the time it was reported on May 13, 2023, that Ildar was missing, more than a month had gone by, which means most clues were long gone. Not only were clues hard to come by, but Alexander and Ildar's mother were very frustrated with the Fijian authorities. They felt like no one cared and no one was looking for him. When Alexander contacted the police, he said they were very nonchalant about it, and told him that whenever Ildar appears, he can go to the police station and check in, and they were not concerned with his whereabouts. But authorities did look into his plans and discovered his plane ticket for April 10th to Malaysia had never been used, and his passport hadn't been scanned anywhere. That's when they realized he never made it off the island. Once his bag was found, the investigation kicked up a little bit, because not only had he not left the island, but he also never went back to the resort to find his phone. Most people would backtrack their steps once they realized it was missing and go back to the last place they saw it, which would have been the resort. Also in the bag with his phone was a set of keys, and no one could figure out what they went to. At first, Alexander thought maybe they were for a locker or something at the airport, but they weren't. They weren't for his apartment back home, and if they were for something else at home, it's unlikely they'd be in a small bag with his cell phone. When you're traveling, keys from home would usually be kept in a safer spot in your suitcase. Being that the keys were in this little bag led to the conclusion that he needed them for something in Fiji. But no one came forward with answers, and the keys are still a total mystery. On May 19th, Russia's embassy in Australia approached Fijian authorities with an urgent request to initiate a search for Ildar. They also provided available information like copies of his documents and photographs. His mother had finally gotten the Russian embassy to head up the search because she felt Fiji wasn't taking it seriously and wasn't doing anything to find her son. Another major part of the mystery was that Ildar checked out of his hotel on the morning of April 9th, but his flight to Malaysia wasn't until April 10th, so where was he planning on staying that night? Alexander was able to get into Ildar's booking.com itinerary, and there was nothing booked for the night of the 9th, although he could have booked it on any number of other sites, including Airbnb, VRBO, or any other site with a private person rather than a company. But if he was planning on staying on the island the night of the 9th, what stopped him from going back to get his phone? Finally, on June 8th, Fijian police announced to the media that a Russian tourist was missing. This came about from the prodding by the Russian embassy in Australia, where his mom was asking for help. She went there because of the language barrier of her speaking Russian, and because there wasn't a Russian embassy in Fiji that she could go to. They also released the information that several of his belongings were found at the resort, and that divers were searching the water. Obviously, it's an island, and Ildar was staying along the coast, so it makes sense to search the water. But by now, it had been months, so the likelihood of finding something was very small. And because it had been so long, you'd think something would have been found by then if he had been in the water. And if he did drown in the water, that makes the next question, why he would have gone into the water after checking out of the resort. If he was all packed up, carrying his suitcase and backpack and headed somewhere else, I doubt he'd randomly go for a last-minute swim. Also, if he went for a swim and something happened, where is his suitcase and backpack? What about his shoes? Nothing of his was ever found on the beach or anywhere on the island other than the blue bag he left behind at yoga class. Beyond that, his friend Yulia Strelnikova, who Ildar met in London, Ontario, who he kept in contact with through social media, said she had doubts he went swimming in unknown waters because he was such a careful person. She said he just wasn't the type to do anything risky or out of the ordinary. On June 30th, Fijian police told the media they were working on some unidentified new developments, but it has never been revealed what those developments were. They only said they were following up on new leads but had yet to locate Ildar. Since then, there have been no news stories or updates on his disappearance. We know certain types of cases get a lot more coverage than others. And because of the language barriers and the fact that Ildar was a Russian-Canadian man who was traveling in Fiji, it's not as high of a priority in the news as it would be if a young American woman had gone missing. Ildar has never been found. His backpack and suitcase have never been found. No one has come forward to say that he booked a place on the island for his last night there, and no clues have surfaced. What could have possibly happened to Ildar Rakhmatulin? The first thing many people think of when someone goes missing in a beach area is that they drown. It makes sense because the ocean is unforgiving, and it's one instance that a body may never be found. But his friends and family want to rule drowning out for several reasons. First, he was not the type to just go for a swim by himself. He was a very careful person who didn't take many risks. Also, he wasn't a drinker, so he didn't stumble into the water either. Perhaps if he had been at the bar all afternoon and there was a chance he went for a swim after, drowning would be a possibility. but he just wasn't that type of person. Second, he had his backpack and suitcase with him and was not wearing swimwear. If he went in the water, he'd have to leave his luggage and clothing somewhere. It would have been found by now. Third, Fijian police did conduct a water search with divers, and no trace of Ildar was found. Even months later, you think they would have found some kind of clue if he was in the water. I think it's possible Ildar left the island by boat. We know he didn't get on any flights, and his passport was never used, but you don't need a passport if you rent a boat. There are more than 330 islands in Fiji. He could have planned a day trip by boat to visit another island or even an overnight trip staying on the boat, with plans to get on his flight to Malaysia the next day. If that's the case, he could have met with foul play on the boat. There are pirates in the seas around Fiji, and they have attacked boats before. Or whoever he was on the boat with could have done something to him. Or the boat could have sank and he drowned in the middle of the ocean somewhere. Or swam to a small uninhabited island and we haven't found him yet. But there are a few problems with this theory also. First of all, he would have had to book the boat from someone. There would be records somewhere. If it was pirates, where's the boat now? It's hard to lose a boat and have no one notice. And that's the same if the boat sank. Someone would be missing a boat. An entire boat is not going to disappear completely unnoticed. I think the keys that were left in the blue bag are a bigger clue than authorities are giving it. Maybe they were keys to another hotel or an Airbnb. Because they were in the small bag with his phone, I think he needed them for something on the island of Fiji. If he didn't leave the island the day he checked out of the hotel, he had to have plans to stay somewhere that night. Maybe he was staying closer to the airport so he would be sure not to miss his flight. The airport is anywhere from 1 to 2 hours away from Coral Coast, so it's entirely possible that was his plan. He could have met with foul play at the hotel or Airbnb he planned to stay at, and that's why no one came forward to claim the keys to their rental or let anyone know where he was planning to stay. Or he could have met with foul play on his way to the accommodations. Maybe he got in the wrong taxi and they planned to rob him, but something went wrong and he was killed. Fiji is really safe. There's not much violent crime, but crime can happen anywhere. Another big clue that I think has been overlooked is the fact that his suitcase and backpack were never found. They have to be somewhere. If someone did something to him, it's entirely possible they took his things to cover the crime or dumped his luggage with his body. But if he drowned or had another accident, they would have found his luggage somewhere close by. Or maybe he purposely left his phone and keys behind, taking only his suitcase and backpack with him to start a new life. His travels were about to come to an end. He was spending a lot of time alone traveling. Maybe he liked the nomad life and wanted to keep going. He could have taken a boat rather than a plane and is still living on the island somewhere and keeping a low profile. His story didn't make big headlines, so it might be easier for him to blend in and start over and no one would notice him. The problems I have with him starting a new life is that there's no motive. He had the money to continue his travels. He didn't have any major responsibilities to go back to and had no reason to walk away from his mom and his friends. Also, none of the money in any of his accounts has been touched. He'd need some kind of income to start a new life. Ildar's disappearance is a complete mystery, but if I had to make a guess, I think foul play is involved. I think a crime of opportunity came along for someone and Ildar was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And the fact that it took so long for anyone to officially report him missing means they may get away with it. As we come up on the 1 year anniversary of Ildar's disappearance, I hope it gives Fijian police a push to find the answers his family needs. The answers are there somewhere, and his mom deserves to know what happened to her son. The question that's probably on your mind right now, is Fiji a safe destination? Overwhelmingly, the answer is yes. Viti Levu is a generally safe island for any type of traveler. The local people are friendly and respectful, violent crime is not common, and even theft is relatively rare in comparison to many parts of the world. But like almost everywhere in the world, it's best to exercise caution at night, and walking alone is not advised. Fijians are generally very warm and friendly, but petty crimes like pickpocketing can occur particularly in urban areas. Also, avoid poorly lit and isolated places. Public transportation, like buses and taxis, are generally safe and reliable, and the buses tend to run on time. Street harassment, especially for solo female travelers, is very low. There might be some occasional attention, and it's best to dress modestly and respect local customs. But overall, Fijian culture is known to be respectful to women. As a solo female traveler, that's always something I like to look into before I go anywhere. Fiji has a noticeable wealth gap, especially between the locals and the vacationers, so the country has seen a small increase in crime, although again, most is just opportunistic theft. Most of the dangers in Fiji are more along the lines of natural hazards. The island is prone to hurricanes during the wet season, which typically runs from November to April. Also, earthquakes and tsunamis can occur in Fiji. And like many tropical destinations, health risks like dengue fever and Zika virus are prevalent. So remember to use insect repellent if you're outside. And there have been several measles outbreaks in the past, so make sure your immunizations are up to date. Any form of hard drugs is outlawed in Fiji, including marijuana, and you'll get arrested. So leave it at home and steer clear of it on the islands. Being intoxicated at the airport or on an aircraft is unlawful as well, so wait until you're poolside to have those extra drinks. One thing Fijians do have is kava, which I've tried in the US, but didn't think much of it. I'd probably give it another try because it's part of the culture in Fiji. The root of the kava plant is used to make a traditional beverage with sedative, anesthetic, and euphoric properties. It's been consumed there for centuries with ceremonial, social, and medicinal purposes. The problem is that it can have adverse side effects if you have other medications in your system, especially antidepressants. So I think as long as you're not taking other medications, go for it, but keep it in moderation. It's always a good idea to learn about the customs and cultures of wherever you're traveling, and Fiji is very unique. There are two main distinct ethnic groups in Fiji, Fijians and Fiji Indians, each with their own unique cultural heritage, history, and identity. Fijians primarily refers to the indigenous people of Fiji that have inhabited the islands for centuries and make up the majority of the population. Their culture is characterized by customs like the kava ceremony, traditional dance, and matrilineal kinship systems, which means family lines are traced through women rather than men. The Fiji Indians refers to descendants of indentured laborers from the Indian subcontinent who were brought to Fiji by the British colonial authorities during the 19th and 20th centuries to work on sugarcane plantations. They primarily speak various dialects of the Hindustani language, which is a blend of Hindu and Yurdi, as well as English. They practice Hindu religious ceremonies, traditional Indian music, dance, and culinary traditions. Although both ethnicities get along, they have vastly different cultures and aspirations, and they tend not to mix socially. In rural areas, both Fijians and Fiji Indians have distinct roles of men and women. Macho behavior is common, and this is where women travelers may experience some unwanted attention. As for dress codes, local women dress modestly. Shorts, sleeveless tops, and short skirts are acceptable, but may draw more attention. Bikinis are fine at the pool or at the beach, but not to be worn out and about. Also, sunbathing or swimming topless is strictly forbidden. Many people visit the local villages in Fiji during their vacation as an activity, but there are some unwritten rules to be aware of. When visiting villages, the dress code is more conservative, and it's expected for women to cover their shoulders, and for both men and women to wear sulus, which is a type of sarong, or at least shorts covering the knees. Also avoid visiting a village on a Sunday, which is a special day for religion, family, and rest. Before entering a village, remove your hat and sunglasses, and carry any backpacks in front of you, because if you hide them, it arouses suspicion. When you first arrive at a village, ask to see the Taranga Nikoro, or village headman. And when you are taken to him, you should present a sevu sevu, or introductory gift. Yakona is the most appropriate gift and can be bought at all the town markets, either in root form or already prepared as waga, which is a powder. And about a half a kilo is appropriate. Other appreciated gifts include books and magazines, food if you plan on staying overnight, and school stationery for children, or toys like balloons or balls. When you enter a home in the village, remove your shoes, crouch a little when passing through the door, and sit cross-legged with your head a little stooped as a sign of respect. it's polite to shake hands with anyone present and introduce yourself simply by name, town, and country. One thing that's different from villages in some other parts of the world is that taking photos is mostly acceptable. Always ask, but most Fijians take pride in being photographed and will often ask you to take their picture and to see it afterwards. They also like when you send them the printed photos as a nice follow-up gesture. Never touch anyone's head, even the heads of young kids, because they consider it the most sacred part of the human body. Go for a high five or a hug instead of a head pat. Overall, a good rule of thumb is to use the buddy system, unless you're traveling solo. And then make sure you inform someone about your plans before going anywhere. Tell someone reliable where you're going and what you'll be doing and when to expect you back. And my number one tip to staying alive on vacation is to pay attention to your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it isn't. Ildar Rakhmatulin is a 38-year-old man with dual Russian and Canadian citizenship. He has short brown hair, about 5'10", and 180 pounds. He was carrying a red Osprey Farpoint backpack and a suitcase, wearing a navy t-shirt with white writing, blue shorts, and beige and black slip-on running shoes. He was last seen leaving the Coral Coast Resort on the morning of April 9, 2023, on the Fiji island of Viti Levu. The Fijian police force have asked for anyone with information on the case to reach out to them. You can call Crime Stoppers on 919 or reach out to the nearest Russian embassy. And finally, remember to leave a review and rate this podcast 5 stars if you like the show, or hell, even if you don't. But either way, feel free to let me know what you think. Please follow The Last Trip on Instagram at The Last Trip Crime Pod. And subscribe on Patreon to support the show. You'll get extra research, videos, photos, and updates, and even learn more about my personal travels. That's patreon.com/thelasttrippodcast. I'm Jamie Beebe, bringing you your last trip and signing off until the next one. Thanks for listening.